Thank you, Ken. Yeah, that list kind of went on, didn't it? I'm like, who are they talking about? Welcome everybody. Ken, I love the music. It's funny, we watched I guess we watched that Clint Eastwood movie, Unforgiven, a couple nights ago here, and I don't know. It reminded me of that, but it was lovely music. Thank you. It's a beautiful song. It was really beautiful. So thank you for playing that. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a short song because that's what I had on my list to do. Let me play that for you. Gosh, it's funny. Okay. This is the one that has been playing very often. Holy Spirit will play songs for me. Now, that's the shorthand way of saying it. I just wake up with a song in my head, and it seems to be indicative of what's going on with me or what I should look at, that sort of thing. So here's the one that that I've been hearing. I'm reaching out, Daniel Namon.
Reaching out to feel the infinite. I'm reaching out to know the divine. I'm reaching out to feel the infinite. Yet forever is already mine. I'm reaching out to feel the infinite. I'm reaching out to know the divine. I'm reaching out to feel the infinite, yet forever is already mine. I'm already there, I'm already home, I'm already safe in my eternal soul. I'm already there, I'm already home, I'm already safe in my eternal. I'm going deep to feel the infinite. I'm going deep to know the divine. I'm going deep to feel the infinite. Yet forever is already mine. I'm already there. I'm already home. I'm already. I'm already there. I'm already home. I'm already safe in my eternal soul. I'm rising up,
rising up
to feel the infinite. I'm rising up,
rising
to know
up
the divine.
Kathy said she'd never heard that before. I got that song. Funny, it's on my computer after, and this computer's relatively new, but I got that song from Devin. What's Devin's last name? Byrne? At a Hofmeister intensive retreat in 2009. So, not that that's relevant to anything. That was my thought when I saw Kathy's comment. Okay, so yeah, I'm struggling a little bit here because let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. So I heard Ann do a speaker spotlight last week, and Ann, you know, basically did the same thing that she does in her Wednesday programs, which is, you know, share from her journal and you know, and from inner wisdom and those sorts of things. The same thing that I normally do in my Wednesday program, and I'm like, well, you know, yeah, that's great. I don't need to come up with any. You know, Regina had asked us to speak, and you know, and given us the authority or the invitation to have whatever kind of program we wanted to have. And I thought, well, really, it makes sense to share with people in the way that I've become accustomed to sharing. And just see what Holy Spirit brings up as I revisit the journaling and the contemplations from the week, which all seemed like a great idea until about, oh, what time did I have my shower today? Until about noon today, and then I went, oh my God, what were you thinking? You should have planned a program, which is, you know, kind of amusing and kind of telling and a little tragic. You know, it just shows me the influence of the thinking mind and the thoughts that can be believed. And what tends to be my habit, which is to set up a scenario and then struggle to meet whatever requirements or guidelines that I think are necessary to successfully meet the situation, right? So, yeah. So it's just a little tiresome, but it's a scenario that I'm quite familiar with because I seem to be encountering that again and again and again. So this thought comes in the mind, oh my God, you should have prepared something. What were you thinking? And so then so for a little while I run with that and I'm like, well, I could do this or I could do that. And it finally, of course, dawned on me that, that it really wasn't necessary, that this was again, that same setup. So I don't have a, slick, you know, marketable program to share with you here today. but I do promise to share with you from my heart and in all honesty. which may be more than you bargained for. But so I will share. And for those of you who listen on a regular basis on Wednesdays, and probably anybody who's ever heard me talk on this thing knows, you know, I've been going through some issues with the house I own back in Kentucky, and really made what I considered valiant efforts to repair and sell said house so I could get on with my life. I bought that house with a former husband back in 1998. Thought I had it sold, contract for deed in 2010. Went back in and tried to get it in repair and ready for sale, and you know, really been working at it day and night, whatever it seems like, since about this time last year. And so I'm just giving you the backstory, so you'll know where this comes from. And Kathy, the last thing that I see typed on the board is "never heard this before." Well, I know that's not true about this story, so that was about the song. No, I'm just trying to get a heads up. Can I get a mic check? Okay, great. Thank you, guys. Yeah, so it looks like good, Jay. Thanks. Thank all of you. So it looks like the house is going into foreclosure, and it looks like and you know this stuff is hard to talk about, guys. I got to tell you, and that was part of what made this difficult to broach tonight. Because it's like, really, this is the face you want to present to people who might not be familiar hearing you speak. You want to tell them about your deep, dark financial troubles. But hey, that's what's on the plate, so that's what we're talking about. So again, here we go. So the house is going into foreclosure, and I've been talking to bankruptcy lawyers. That's the bottom line. Yeah, George. Yeah, I knew that you had housing issues as well. Yeah. So let me just read you what came, and then we'll see where we go. I wrote, I have asked to see what I am not seeing in myself. So when a friend suggested that I need to pay attention to this whole bankruptcy foreclosure debacle as an opportunity for healing some long and deeply held beliefs, I realized I need to look for the truth in that advice. What would you say to me that will assist in my healing? And Inner Wisdom responded, thank you for your willingness to look and to see. You have been seeing the anxiety you are experiencing around these issues as fear about the outcome or the end result. It is not the end result that makes you anxious. You are concerned that this situation tells others that you are a failure, and the others are on both sides of the aisle, those who believe in the world and those who don't. Bankruptcy carries stigma in the world of business, law, social status. But you are able to, quote, successfully, end quote, defend against imagined criticism by pointing to the fact, and I did, I started this talk with you guys this exact way. I'm defending myself as I'm telling you the story, the saga of what's going on, right? But you are able to successfully, that's in quotes, defend against imagined criticism by pointing to the fact that you spent $40,000 trying to fix the place up, right? You are still paying bills there. You have done everything you could possibly do to avoid the situation. So, what notions are you able to keep alive with this justification? Right? So, yeah, are you paying attention? What's really going on here? What, how do you feel about this stuff, really? Are you able to see that? And my friend didn't use the words, are you paying attention? But those words came to me from when we were talking about this, you know, when she was basically saying that, are you paying attention? Although she didn't use the words, you know, those words came to me from Peaceful Warrior, where Socrates and Joy both asked Dan Millman that at separate points in the movie, are you paying attention? You know, this is life, it's happening here. Are you paying attention? And then we also saw that come up in another movie that we watched the other night, the movie about Alan Turing, who broke the Germans' code in World War II. Anyway, it was a strange place for it to show up too. Are you paying attention? So this is, you know, and if I hear things repeated, it's just like these song messages that I get. If I hear these things repeated, that means they're well worth listening to, right? That means that this message is coming to me, to be looked at. So my friend asked me, are you paying attention? Inner wisdom asked me, okay, so you successfully, oh, bankruptcy's bad, but yeah, I did everything I could to avoid it. I spent all this money, I'm still paying bills there, paying the guy to mow the grass, blah, 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 right? All amounting to my defense that I have done everything I could possibly do to avoid the situation. Inner wisdom asked me, so what notions are you able to keep alive with this justification? And I wrote the following. I am responsible. I am trustworthy. I do everything I can possibly do to uphold my honor. And that one, I got a question mark by that one because I thought, well, that's a little, it just sounded a little strange to me. Nonetheless, I do everything I can possibly do to uphold my honor. Other people are unreasonable. And I have in parentheses beside that the name of the second mortgage company who torpedoed every offer, short sale offer we took to them. Anyway, other people are unreasonable. Other people take advantage. And I have in parentheses my real estate agents. I felt like I got some bad advice and, I wouldn't put all that money in, blah, 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 blah. But that's one of the. That's one of the notions that I'm able to keep alive with the justification. I have done everything I could possibly do not to end up in this situation, right? Again, notions I'm able to keep alive with that justification. I'm responsible. I'm trustworthy. I do everything I can possibly do to uphold my honor. Other people are unreasonable. Other people take advantage. People should recognize what a trooper I am. How hard I try. So inner wisdom suggested the following. Let's look at the reverse of these to see what you believe the bankruptcy says about you. Right? If those are my justifications, let's look at what they're covering up. The reverse of these. I am irresponsible. I cannot be trusted. I am lazy and only do what I have to do to get by. I am unreasonable. I take advantage of others. People recognize that I am a loser. Inner wisdom says, you can clearly feel what you are believing by your intolerance of entertaining those thoughts. It is enough for now to look and see what your defensive thoughts are trying to hide from you. And what this brought up for me was it's really interesting. I realized when as I was going through this that inner wisdom was playing a game with me that I had played with my Course in Miracles class that I taught back at Unity of Louisville. I had them do a similar exercise, and I considered, like maybe that's when I was thinking, oh, this needs to be a slick, marketable program. I consider having you guys do this exercise, and you might want to do it. I think it's well worth doing. I think it was eye-opening to both me and the folks who were in that class. And here's what I had them do. I had them write down five things about themselves. Somebody said, tell me about yourself, right? Five characteristics that they would use to describe themselves, like, I'm smart, I'm kind, I'm whatever, easygoing, I'm pretty, whatever it is, right? So I had them write down five things. And then I had them pair up with a partner, and the task was to take their list of five things and tell their partner the opposite of those things. So that if it said, I am pretty, they would say to their partner, I am ugly. If it said, I am kind, they would say to their partner, I am mean, right? Or whatever the opposite was. And it was a fascinating exploration of the identities that we build for ourselves, the what we want to believe about ourselves. And it sounds simplistic, and maybe sounds like it wouldn't be very fruitful, but I can tell you it was interesting to see how difficult it was for folks to say the opposite of what they believed about themselves. So I encourage you to give that a shot, because it's very telling. You know, you can see how closely you are identified with these concepts that you have drawn about yourself. When you see how painful it is to say the opposite to someone else about yourself. It's just fascinating. So when I wrote this, I realized, oh my God, inner wisdom just had me do this. And I didn't realize it till afterwards. But so this whole thing about, oh, you know, I worked so hard to do this and nobody should find themselves in this situation, but you can see how hard I worked to avoid it. Yeah, you can see how that makes me responsible and trustworthy and, you know, hardworking and reasonable, and it's other people that are unreasonable, otherwise it would have gone, you know. And to turn all that on its head is really something to see. So again, inner wisdom said to me, let's look at the reverse of these to see what you believe the bankruptcy says about you. And the reverse is, I am irresponsible. I cannot be trusted. I am lazy and only do what I have to do to get by. I am unreasonable. I take advantage of others. People recognize that I am a loser. And also, as I read this, I won't dwell on it for a long time, but I'm reminded that, you know, this is what Byron Katie has us do in her her work. She has you turn these things around. So anyway, very interesting. So Holy Spirit says, you can clearly feel what you are believing by your intolerance of entertaining those thoughts. It is enough for now to look and see what your defensive thoughts are trying to hide from you. Right? I'm not hiding anything from anybody but me. You wish to look at this through a spiritual lens. You clearly minimize and homogenize this whole housing issue when you present your spiritual face to the public. And I said, well, wait a minute, is that true? Am I hiding something from myself here? And an inner wisdom said, you still believe that your outer circumstances are important, that they reveal the truth about you spiritually. You believe that if you meet these circumstances with equanimity, you have proven you are somehow spiritually above it all. This is why you were so confused when you received the news that you had a full offer on the house. Yeah, and a few weeks back, and I reported it to all of you guys, so you may remember, I did get that message from the realtor. You got a full offer on the house, meaning, you know, this is what the short sale company, the mortgage company said they take on a short sale, and I had a full offer. Well, that ended up falling through, but at the time, I was just overcome with joy. I mean, I cried with joy. I was so I was so happy to be out from under this, and but I did feel a great deal of confusion then, because I'm like, wait, that's not being, you know, that's not having equanimity towards the good or the bad. You know, it's all the same. No, it wasn't all the same. That's really, really, really what I wanted. And it seems silly even to say it now. Of course, you know, be joyous. If you're joyous, be joyous. You don't have to analyze it. Be joyous. At the time, I'm like, huh, what does that mean? Inner wisdom is telling me that equanimity that I thought I was experiencing was really a cover over all of these beliefs, these, which is basically, frankly, the I am bad belief, right? And that you believe that if you meet these circumstances with equanimity, you have proven you are somehow spiritually above it all. That is why you were so confused when you received the news that you had a full offer on the house. You believe that people can look at you through looking at your circumstances and tell that you are a fraud. So what beliefs do these types of thoughts uphold? And I wrote that there are some people who are more deserving than others, and that I'm not one of those people. That Regina has misplaced her trust in me and my ability. That everyone is deserving of salvation but me. That I only pretend to hear spirit. That I will be found out. That I will never understand. I will never get this. And again, I got to tell you, I'm like, I'm looking at this stuff that I wrote, and I'm like, I'm going to share this with these people, with these people who you know, these are the folks that I'm talking about, right? These are, these are the folks. If I'm going to present a good face to the public, you're the public. clearly, you're my mighty companions. Clearly, this is the space where we do this, where we look at what it is that we're really believing, that we say it out loud, so that it's not, you know, some hidden, dirty little secret. Excuse me a moment. Sorry, that door's just rattling and rattling. I thought maybe the cat was trying to get in. So it might not sound like a very uplifting message. Frankly, it's just, for me, it's really important to go see what's really going on in there, right? I'm adept, I assume some of you guys are as well. I'm very adept at hiding from myself what's really going on, right? I'm still buying the stories that get told, even, you know, and for me, as I move along this path, those stories get craftier and craftier, right? It takes more and more digging to root them out. Because you know, it's this whole spiritual ego thing, right? I know what it's supposed to sound like, so I have to manipulate and maintain this belief structure that doesn't upset, you know, this this new picture that I would like to paint of myself. It all sounds very, very convoluted, it makes it difficult to share, but I again, I appreciate the opportunity to do so. And yeah, Jay says, like I talked about this morning, I have to be curious and actually look. Yeah, and look. Yeah, exactly. So let me read you. I'm going to follow that up with with a journal from the next day. I said, yesterday was another trying day as I met with the attorney. Some folks I talked to, some people thought I might be nervous about the meeting, but I thought that notion was silly. Yet, as I was on the road to his office, I went up to Colorado Springs to meet him. Yet, as I was on the road to his office, I began to feel quite a bit of anxiety. After the meeting, I felt drained, exhausted. Clearly, my thoughts about the situation took a toll on me mentally and physically. What, if anything, would you say to me about this? An inner wisdom said, you need not dig deep to figure out some hidden meaning here. which is what I just said, by the way, which is funny. You need not dig deep to figure out some hidden meaning here. You need merely pay attention. Your surprise at discovering your nervousness around the situation is an indication that you are indeed beginning to plumb the depths of some very strongly held beliefs. To want to do more is the impulse to want to fix something like your personality. You do well to notice. Notice these fears and emotions are not you. Do not try to fix them. Okay, well, I'm glad I read that again. I wouldn't want to miss that. Yeah, are you paying attention? That really seems to be the that really seems to be the theme here. And I am paying attention. Let me just go on and read the rest of this. And this is all part of that. So later, I wrote, lately, excuse me, I get a drink. Lately, in meditation, I have felt a fluttering in my chest, kind of like too much coffee. Today, I was prompted to do a guided meditation, which included a scanning the body relaxation technique. Number one, I hate, well, I don't know, I hate, that's so strong and silly. I'm not a guided meditation fan. I'd rather just turn on some music and just, you know, do my thing, right? So I'm not particularly a guided meditation fan, but that was the prompt. And the scanning the body, I mean, so it was just interesting that that was, the real prompt was go on to your meditation app and do the first one that you see, and that was it. So it was this guided meditation. So at any rate, I was prompted to do a guided meditation, which included a scanning the body relaxation technique. What I found was that the fluttering both exploded and felt very dense. The experience felt revelatory of what's really going on in there. Is there anything you would share with me about? Is there anything you would share with me about this? And the answer, this is the kind of exploration that is needed. Just being attuned to your experience reveals what you have been reluctant to look upon until now. As your experience showed you, there is quite a bit more attempted management going on than you suspected. The call is to truly let go of that which is not you, rather than storing the energy away as has been your unconscious habit until now. Nor is there a need to define what you experienced in meditation. Do you see how you want to spin your experience so you can reap the self-serving accolades for having accomplished something? And yeah, I mean, that's the tendency. It's like, ooh, look what I got during, ooh, that was cool. You know, right? It's just what we do, just what I do. I don't have to define it. Just notice my experience. And Inner Wisdom says, the call is to just be with your experience. You need not manipulate it or try to categorize it, etc. Follow the guidance as given through Regina and practice just being. And that would be a reference, I think, to that day's tip. Continue to look for the stories you tell yourself and others as a means of manipulating your and others' impressions of yourself, which is really interesting because, you know, it's not just this mental gymnastics I engage in are not just there to impress you guys, right? To impress my family, to impress the world. I'm trying to manipulate my own perception of who it is that I think that I am. I mean, it's just really a hoot, right? Because we know that awakening is like the undoing all of that, the pulling the wool off of our eyes, right? So it's just interesting to see that that I do that tap and dance. Not only for others, but for myself. So, continue to look for the stories you tell yourself and others as a means of manipulating your and others' impressions of yourself. Remember, there is no self, only experience. To tell the story through the lens of the person is to remove yourself from the experience. That too is habit. You can let that go merely by desiring to do so. Yeah, and that whole thing that to tell the story through the lens of the person, you know, that's just to like, that's just what I was just talking about, you know, to be able to maintain these beliefs that I would maintain about myself so I don't have to look at the truth of my fears about who I might be, right? That whole exercise that we went through earlier. That inner wisdom walked me through. You know, I want to believe I'm responsible, I'm trustworthy, I'm a hard worker, I'm reasonable, I would never take advantage, right? But the fear is that the opposite is true about me. So that I use these experiences to shore up what I would like to think about myself. Or at the very least, as a way of keeping tamped down those things that I don't want to consider might be true about me because I really believe they are true. Pardon me. Okay, to tell the story through the lens of the person, that's what I'm talking about. To tell the story through, well, that's what Inner Wisdom's talking about, and I assume that's what Inner Wisdom's talking about. To tell the story through the lens of the person is to remove yourself from the experience, right? Because we were just told, remember, there is no self, right? It's not going to tell me, my interaction with this experience isn't going to tell me anything about myself because there is no self, little s self, right? There is no self whose image needs to be maintained or refuted or shored up. There is no self. To do it that way is to remove myself from life, from the experience. That too is habit, Inner Wisdom says. You can let that go merely by desiring to do so. There is nothing to do. Just remember to pay attention and to let go where you see the opportunity to do so. Blessings. And so, we're building, I think, to a crescendo here. The next journal entry I have here, is on the thought of awakening from yesterday. On these sentences, you are not to be controlled or limited, not even by you. You are to be discovered, and discovery happens through allowing the mystery. I felt the prompt to go back and listen to a talk I did, I don't know, I think it was back in May, maybe before that, maybe March, anyway, on surrender. So it was interesting to hear that was Jay's topic this morning too, by the way. But it was very helpful, and I think it was just right on point for this. So that's the reference I make here. I say thank you for pointing me to the talk on surrender. It seemed to address this very issue. Again, I just want to read that sentence that struck me. You are not to be controlled or limited, not even by you. You are to be discovered, and discovery happens through allowing the mystery. And I said, thank you for pointing me to the talk on surrender. It seemed to address this very issue. What else would you say to me on this topic? And the answer, you are what you are, not through any act or even any decision of your own. What you are cannot be other than it is. Note the distinction between defining and discovering. It does indeed take courage to face the unknown without following the urge to define it, to place it within your imagined constructs. Right, to do that manipulating thing, right? That shuffling, that categorizing thing. Oh, and this is what this says about me, and ooh, I'm gonna keep that over there because that says that about me, right? It does indeed take courage to face the unknown without following the urge to define it, to place it within your imagined constructs. This is the courage to discover your truth. It is infinitely okay to be afraid. Now, I want to say something about that word, infinite. And I was hearing that word and Daniel Namod talk about I'm reaching out into the infinite, right? And I swear, I'm like, oh my God, the day that I wrote this, it struck me, which I think was yesterday, it really struck me. I have never looked at that word before, and I think that I had just finished listening to this talk that I had given a few months ago on surrender, where I talked about how, you know, clinging to these ideas of yourself, it's that needs to be surrendered. It's that self-building that needs to be surrendered. But in looking at the word infinite, what I heard this morning, I'm sorry, I'm garbling it a little bit, but I apologize. What I heard this morning was, you don't have to make it, your image of yourself, I think, finite like that. And I went, oh my God, this word infinite. It's like unfinite, right? Because, you know, we want to think of, you know, we talk about reaching out and going into the infinite, like going into the mystery, just this amorphous thing, and, you know, and it's all feel good and touchy-feely. But it's unfinite, right? It's the unlimited. It's that which I would not define. It's that where we experience life as it is, life as it presents itself, life undefined. It is the great mystery. It is the playing field for us to discover. It is the unfinite. And it just blew me away when that occurred to me this morning. Anyway, Inner Wisdom said, it does indeed take courage to face the unknown without following the urge to define it, to place it within your imagined constructs. This is the courage to discover your truth. It is infinitely okay to be afraid. Stay with your fear. And again, I did feel some fear when I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, you know, you're kind of like, ah, I'm on shaky ground here. That's the fear that was coming up for me that Inner Wisdom's talking about. Stay with your fear as long as you need so that you can see you cannot be harmed by it. Seek it out if you must until you have felt it in every form and every forum, then you will see there is nothing there. Then you will be free to ask rather than to tell who you are and what meaning is given. Be willing to be wrong. Be willing to be seen as foolish. Be willing to be injured. Be willing at all times, in all situations. Be willing to let things be as they are. Simple, right? Blessings to you and peace be with you. So what's come together here for me is just to see how this impulse to fit myself into one of these good categories, responsible, trustworthy, hard worker, all the rest of that. Is it really an attempt to ward off that fear? And by taking that fear in and making it my confidant, my ally in building this image, I actually hold myself apart from life. I hold myself apart from the truth of my being. And to be willing to be vulnerable to is this willingness to surrender, this willingness to be wrong, to be seen as foolish, to be injured. Just being willing, right? Not resisting, because it doesn't happen to fit with the way I like to think about myself. And then today I wrote contemplating the thought of awakening, the sentence that stood out for me was the following: I don't know who I am is a helpful response to any thought that tries to define who you are. And I'm like, whoa, this is really so cool how all these teachings always, always, always come together. You know, they're always, the same lesson is always being taught. And sometimes I'm paying attention. I don't know who I am. This is from today's Thought of Awakening. I don't know who I am is a helpful response to any thought that tries to define who you are. Inner wisdom said, you imagine that there are specific characteristics you adhere to or subscribe to because that is just who you are. You use these characteristics to define yourself and to orient yourself to the events occurring around you. This self-identification is as unconscious to you as breathing. This is how you have always done it. You are called now to see where these connections are being made, right? To look under the blanket, right? Lisa is telling me to change my perception. I am God. Yeah, I get it. I get it. At some level, I have no question about this, but what this is having me do is to look under the blanket and see where I'm missing, you know, where this 57 years of habit is still running, where that script still runs. As it says here, I use the characteristics, you know, the way I think about myself, right? I'm cool, I'm happy, I'm shit, you know, but what's that covering, right? Let's just pay attention. It says here, you use these characteristics to define yourself and to orient yourself to the events occurring around you. This self-identification is as unconscious to you as breathing. This is how you have always done it. You are called now to see where these connections are being made. The call is to be aware of the movement towards or away from thoughts that tell you who you are or who you are not. The call is to allow yourself to remain undefined. Your preferences and beliefs about yourself are self-limiting. Your thoughts and beliefs about yourself are simply untrue. They are a means of avoiding the discovery of the truth of yourself. Truth and self, capitalized. Be in this moment without reference to the you of a moment ago, of yesterday, of your seeming lifetime. This is the direction in which you have faced. This is the movement you claim as the natural way of being. This is, in fact, the distraction. Let go the self as a point of reference. The person, quote-unquote person, you have cobbled together is no more than a set of preferences strung together to form a mirage of continuity. You are not that. You are the one who chooses what to focus attention upon. Learning to focus on nothing is the means of letting go of continually collecting the structures upon which your belief in personhood rests. This is why you're asked to surrender to me with questions like, how am I to be now? Your self-selected modes of being merely reinforce that which you have determined to be. Because you do not know that which you are, and like Lisa tells me, I'm God, right? Because you do not know that which you are, you attempt to conform your present experience to what you think. Let me try again. Because you do not know that which you are, your attempt to conform your present experience to what you think you are blocks your experience of your reality. This is why it is necessary to let go your moorings and simply rest within not knowing what anything means. Definition is distraction. Definition is self-imposed limitation. Willingly surrender your definitions. Be willing to let me show you the truth of you. Watch for the definitions or limits you would place on experience. Just be. So, I'm out of time, so I'm going to go. I appreciate you all being here with me. I appreciate your permitting me to share with you. I love you all dearly. And, yeah, thank you. And I'll see you around. Bye.